This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by True Niagen. New True Niagen Pro contains a unique form of vitamin B3, clinically proven to safely increase NAD, which is a vital resource used every day to help fuel and maintain the health of all living cells. NAD is critical for energy and cellular repair and supports muscle function. But as we age, NAD has been found to decline up to 50%. True Niagen Pro is clinically proven to safely increase NAD levels, caring for your cells to help you age better and live better. True Niagen Pro is only available through healthcare practitioners. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com to get yours. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and it's our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we're answering your questions. Some great questions this week.
Yeah.
And another great question coming up. Radioprogram@AOL.com. Remember, that's the destination for questions. Whatever's on your mind, you can have a go at it here on this podcast.
Okay. We have an email from Jerry. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. I hear you speak about vitamin D deficiency and that it's hard for some people to absorb. I had a vitamin D test about a year ago. My vitamin D level was low 20s. I supplemented with 5,000 IU for the last year. I had a follow-up blood test, and my level is still in the low 20s. I'm not sure if I'm absorbing the vitamin D. I was taking it with dinner, but the doctor suggested taking it in the morning, so I'm taking it with breakfast and fish oil now. Is there any test to determine why my vitamin D is so low? Are some brands better or more bioavailable than others? I hope it's vitamin D3, Jerry, that you're taking, first of all.
Which is more bioavailable. But even with vitamin D2, you should be able to bump your vitamin D levels.
Over the course of a year,
this is something we've seen, is that some people seem to have a hole in their bucket for vitamin D. Remember, an old camp song was, "There's a hole in my bucket, dear Liza, there's a hole in me." And so it went on and on.
Uh-huh.
And, well, mend it, you know, dear Willie, you silly, dear Willie.
Oh, my.
And so there's a hole in some people's bucket for vitamin D. And some people easily replete their vitamin D with 1,000 a day or 2,000. What happens with some people is, for some reason, they either don't absorb it at the gastrointestinal level.
Yeah.
They have some problems with malabsorption. Maybe they've got some gastrointestinal problems.
Yeah. Maybe they have inflammatory bowel disease.
Something like
celiac
that.
Celiac disease, something like that.
Or they have some problems with the transport of vitamin D in their bloodstream, and that's probably genetically determined.
Right. And the genetically determined
the receptor. The vitamin D receptor. But the vitamin D receptor should be more about the action of vitamin D at a cellular level, and the levels in the bloodstream should be okay.
It should be, right.
But those are the people with a vitamin D receptor problem, which is, by the way, you determine that through genetic testing.
Yes.
And that's something we're going to be doing more of here.
I
found a company that does a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll report on the results of that in some subsequent podcasts, not this Q&A.
Right.
But the other problem is, it seems that vitamin D gets depleted when you have inflammation. And so
it's like the antibiotic vitamin.
Yeah. But it's like, or an anti-inflammatory, antibiotic too, but
anti-inflammatory.
In an infectious state, you need more vitamin D. In a patient with a lot of autoimmunity, like a patient we saw the other day, she takes 5,000, but she only has fairly like 30, you know, vitamin D.
Yeah, 28.
Oh, okay.
It was 28.
So that's another instance. So is something going on with this guy? Is there an inflammatory condition that is somehow consuming the vitamin D?
Yeah. It could be that. It could be he has compromised liver or kidney function, because you need both for the conversion of vitamin D to its hormonal form.
But what you're measuring, you're actually measuring the hepatic conversion, the liver conversion.
Okay.
When you measure 23, you know, you're not measuring 125 hydroxy vitamin D. That would be what determines by the kidney.
Okay.
Okay. I think the 25 hydroxylation occurs in the
liver.
Liver, and the 1 hydroxylation occurs in the
kidneys.
Kidney, I believe. We might have it reversed.
But what you're measuring is you're measuring 25
calcitriol is what we're measuring.
Calcitriol, which is 25 hydroxyvitamin D, which is the hepatic. You know, so unless your liver is really kaput,
right?
It's much more common to see a problem with the kidneys in people with kidney failure. Because you have liver failure, you know, you basically...
That's it. Jerry, another reason for chronically low vitamin D could be obesity.
Oh, thank you. Very good, yes.
Vitamin D is sequestered by our fat cells.
Exactly, thank you. That's very good. It's sort of like...
You know, if you're carrying a few extra pounds, it's possible, especially belly fat.
Vitamin D, it's possible. It's like a sponge.
Yes.
So that actually may account for some studies which say that vitamin D makes you thin. Well, no, vitamin D doesn't necessarily make you thin. There's a correlation between obesity and low vitamin D.
Yes.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that if you take a lot of vitamin D, the pounds will melt away.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
So that's... You know, vitamin D has a lot of benefits.
Yeah.
And, you know, in our last podcast, we talked about the study that showed that vitamin D was helpful for patients with advanced colon cancer.
Yes.
It helped them survive.
Longer.
Well, he didn't say survive. It helped them have a disease-free interval
of
longer.
23 months, 24 months.
One-third.
Yeah.
You know, so definitely got some very tangible benefits at high doses, 4,000. You know, look, I mean, under supervision, you can take 10,000. I've had some patients take 10, 15,000.
Yes. Yeah.
But they have to be monitored.
They have to be monitored. The other thing is certain medications can also
interfere.
Steroids.
Certain anticonvulsants.
Yes.
Right.
I'm trying to think of other. Those two come to mind.
Sequestrants, like things that are bile acid sequestrants, like Questran and things like that.
Mm-hmm. That could also cause a lower vitamin D.
Right, that causes some malabsorption, those things, intentionally so.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, Jerry, if you do, you need to have all of the above checked out to make sure you don't have a malabsorption issue or any of that. Check the type of vitamin D you're taking. It should be D3.
Oh, so let's speak to the reliability, because you know, people will say, well, that guy's taking like vitamin D from Costco.
Oh, and you know what? Jerry, also make sure that your vitamin D test is 25-OHD. That's 25-hydroxyvitamin D. Maybe they ran the wrong test on you.
Yeah.
We've seen that happen a lot.
That could be.
Still.
That could be. We used to see that more.
Yeah.
But the point I was going to make is, you know, is there a great deal of variability among vitamin Ds? So if you say, well, I'm not going to go to some fancy schmancy brand. I'm going to go to Costco and get my vitamin D. Could that be a problem? It is less of a problem.
For vitamin D. Yeah.
Now, I would say it's more of a problem if you're talking about the quality of nutraceuticals.
Yes.
Or if you're talking about the quality of like a B complex or something like that.
Even a multi.
Or fish oil, for example. Mm-hmm. But with vitamin D, D is sort of D.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it's pretty much the same source.
The claim that if you take it with magnesium, it's better absorbed. Or if you
take it with vitamin K.
Or if you take it with, what's that pepper extract?
Bioperin.
Bioperin, that it makes it more bioperin. But I don't think you need to do that.
No.
The other thing that I deplore is I see some of my holistic colleagues injecting people with vitamin D. They give them vitamin D shots.
Huh.
What's the reason for that? You don't, it's like they give it, it's more effective when you give it as a shot.
It's not like a B12 shot. That's effective.
Yeah, but you don't need to give D as a shot.
Huh.
It can be taken orally, and you just need to take more if you're not absorbing it that well.
Yeah.
So you can generate a fee by giving people an injection. You can charge them they go up to the front desk and, you know, pay us $50 for their vitamin D shot.
Right.
But that's kind of unnecessary.
Yeah. So, Jerry, check that the right test was administered, the right vitamin D test. You don't have malabsorption problems.
Yeah.
You know, if you're overweight, lose some pounds, that could certainly help. If you're on any of the medications that we just talked about, that can also interfere with your absorption of vitamin D. And genetically, there are some people with a low receptor or low just...
But that doesn't speak to the levels in the bloodstream.
Right.
Now, there is actually some... I mean, you're going to want to go on and on in some long...
No, but it's...
But there's actually some evidence that African Americans... have lower vitamin D, but it may be a reflection of the carrier protein for vitamin D.
Yeah.
that their carrier protein for vitamin D indicates they have lower levels when they actually may have equivalent levels.
Mm-hmm.
So that if an African American has a level of, 32 and a Caucasian has a level of 42,
yeah,
they may actually both have the same amount of vitamin D that's bioavailable.
Yeah. It's like the GFR rate for kidney function. If African American, this number, if
it has to
non-African American, that number. Some innate genetic something.
That where the tests may be a little deceptive.
Right.
But, it's true that African Americans have lower vitamin D because they don't, tan as much. They don't need to tan or desire to tan. And then there's also that dark skin prevents the formation of vitamin D.
That's true.
By sun.
Right. And over the age of about 65 or so, if you're depending on sunlight, you're not going to get, you don't have enough
70-hydrocholesterol
under your skin to absorb. And if you're going to follow your dermatologist's advice to go in the sunshine at, before 10 a.m. and after 3 p.m., you're not getting any vitamin D because you're not getting
50,
UVB rays. You're not getting any.
50,
you have to be naked at noon.
Right.
That's what needs to happen.
And the sun hats and the UV protective t-shirts.
Exactly. Exactly.
What's the point of a UV protective t-shirt?
Yeah, really. Yeah. Isn't the shirt enough?
I thought so.
Yeah.
But anyway. All right, good point at which to pause because we need to sell some of these UV protective t-shirts. I'm sorry to we just dissed our sponsor. No. Listen to this message from one of our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine continued free resource to you. So here it goes.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by True Niagen. New True Niagen Pro contains a unique form of vitamin B3, clinically proven to safely increase NAD, which is a vital resource used every day to help fuel and maintain the health of all living cells. NAD is critical for energy and cellular repair and supports muscle function. But as we age, NAD has been found to decline up to 50%. True Niagen Pro is clinically proven to safely increase NAD levels, caring for your cells to help you age better and live better. True Niagen Pro is only available through healthcare practitioners. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com to get yours.
Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. And now back to our questions. What's our next question, Layla?
Here's one from Bill. Hello, Dr. Hoffman. Concerning the keto diet, the ketogenic diet, why does Dr. Atkins not get credited for introducing this way of eating? It seems people have a short memory. Could it be the Atkins name has been so vilified that a new hip name had to be introduced? I just want to see Dr. Atkins get some credit for this modern diet. Bill, me too. Yeah, I think he's been so vilified that it had to be rebranded.
It's also a generational thing.
Yeah.
I think that there's these people who get together at these sort of keto convocations. They get together in Austin,
KetoCon.
Yeah, KetoCon. KetoCon 2019,
Right.
And it's a bunch of, millennials who are, super muscle-bound with, chiseled bodies and washboard abdomens and six-packs.
Yeah.
And, they do CrossFit and they're on a keto diet. And that's the culture of the keto diet, and it is less associated with this rather rotund old guy, Dr. Atkins.
Yeah,
that was from a different generation.
Right. I think there's also a misunderstanding, and I've even had patients say to me, "Well, I should do a ketogenic diet, not a low carb diet." I'm like, they are the same thing. The objective is to put you into ketosis. Hence, ketogenic diet.
And Atkins really understood that because he gave people keto sticks.
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't just low carb. He wanted people in ketosis.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And interestingly, even though those sticks didn't turn purple for as much as 50% of the people who were actually in ketosis, but there wasn't enough ketone present in the urine.
Yeah.
So, but there are actually better methods now that...
Atkins,
more.
In some ways, as I think about it, he was a little bit like the Donald Trump of integrative medicine.
Yep.
He was a brash individual. Mm-hmm. He was looking for a fight and for confrontation. He didn't shrink from...
He didn't shrink from any of it.
From any of that. And
he had such conviction in his knowledge that
And he had a big ego. He did. I mean, let's face it, but he had the courage of his convictions, mm-hmm. and he pushed his agenda big time.
Yeah.
And in the face of tremendous repudiation, I once was invited to go on a radio, on a TV program. Actually, it was the Geraldo show.
Oh.
And then, you know, Atkins called me up and he said, "Hey, I hear you're going to be on the Geraldo show." And I said, "You're on the show?" And I said to Atkins, I remember I said, "I have a bad feeling about this. I think they're setting up an ambush. It's a confrontation show.
Turning into a Jerry Springer."
So I called up Geraldo, their people, and I said, "I can't do this." I said, "What do you mean you can't do this? We really want you to do this. Like, you can't back out." I said, "Of course I can back out." I said, "Look, I ain't doing this." I said, and I hung up the phone. Mm-hmm. And so Atkins called up and he said, "Well, you doing it?" He said, "I'm not doing it because I think it's a setup. I'd advise you don't do it." He says, "Well, I'm going to do it because even if it's a setup, I'm going to prove that, you know, that I'm right."
That was the courage of his convictions.
And what happened was they trotted out some patients who were dissatisfied with him and like they made it like an expose kind of thing and they ambushed him.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't care.
He didn't.
But that's how our personalities differ. I thought, like, I'm going to avoid this really unpleasant experience because they're going to control the narrative.
Right.
And they did. They embarrassed Atkins, but he didn't care.
No, he didn't care. And, you know, when I was with him at the time, even for that short period of time that I was with him before he passed away, hundreds, thousands upon thousands of case studies of everybody who did very, very well.
Yeah.
On the diet.
It's unfortunate that he died when he died because he would be extremely gratified to see the acceptance of his ideas now because they were beginning to be accepted
when he died. Right.
But there's been a surge of interest in this and really good quality research. You know, people like, what's the name of the researcher who picked up on him, Dr.?
There's Dr. Hugh, there's Dr. Feynman, there's...
Feynman, who I interviewed
recently. Yancey is another... Sondheim, not the Broadway musical guy, but a different pediatrician.
There's another one, anyway.
Yeah.
People have picked up on his research and really taken it forward. And he was not a
Westman. Thank you, Westman.
Eric Westman.
All right, I knew
we
get it.
Together, we have a brain. You
know, yes.
Right. It's like that's why we do this podcast today.
Right.
So anyway, that's the answer, basically.
It is.
Is that it's unfortunate.
Oh, yeah, it is. And I go around correcting a lot of, I'm doing a ketogenic diet. I'm not doing a low-carb diet. I'm not doing an Atkins. Yeah, you are. You're doing all, that's what you're doing. Really? Yeah. Yeah, you kind of are. So, Bill, yes, we'd like to see Dr. Atkins get some credit for this modern diet. And it is terrible. You know, if he was still here, he would have. The whole point of the diet is to put you into ketosis. That's what phase one does. And in phase two, you're still in ketosis. By phases three and four, as you've reached your weight goal and your health goals, you're coming kind of out of ketosis. It's enough where you now maintain the weight.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't necessarily need to be in ketosis 100% of the time. You can kind of go in and out.
Yep.
And for some people that hit a plateau, they need to reprime their metabolism a little bit. And what that means is you need to eat some more carbs for a few days and then go right back in.
So there's a
There's
an art to it.
It's metabolic memory a little bit. It's like, I was burning fat. Let me go back to doing that. But you have to remind your metabolism by eating some more carbs first and go, oh, here comes the shift, and then bring it back. That's a little bit of an art, too.
Well, it's great that you learned at the feet of the master and really have that touch for it, because it's perpetuating the legacy of Dr. Atkins, who nailed it on a lot of things. I mean, there have been some refinements to it, and one of the things I objected to with the Atkins approach was that he was open to using artificial sweeteners, which I think don't help. Turns out didn't help.
Right. That was before we thought sucralose was amazing at the time. Splenda is the yellow packet, people.
Right.
But as it turns out, with later research, not so much.
All right. Yeah. So not he wanted to give his patients a break, and the net result is they created and he wasn't that happy with his food line. I think ultimately, although it was very profitable, is that there were a lot of sugar alcohols in the food.
Yeah.
And we're not big fans of those in the prepared foods.
Right, in the prepared foods. And sugar alcohols can cause a laxative effect.
Yeah.
You have to be careful. You can't have so many low-carb bars without some kind of a consequence.
Yeah.
So that's something.
All right.
But Bill, thank you for mentioning this.
Yeah. Triggered a good conversation. We got time for one rather abbreviated question.
Okay. I like this. It's from Eric. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla, a mainstream retired doctor with whom I lunch daily seems to have fallen for some tripe put out by one of our Finnish research groups that proffers polyunsaturated oils like canola, grown here in Finland in abundance.
This is a Finnish person?
This is somebody in Finland.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. My contention from expert opinion heard over and over again is that fatty liver syndrome is caused by alcohol, sugar, and too many refined carbohydrates. Further, with regard to overall health, saturated fats like butter, coconut oil are far less responsible for inflammation compared to the PUFAs. So they're still pulling. Yeah, they're still asserting that polyunsaturated vegetable oils are better.
This is more of a comment than a question. You know, I think we agree that polyunsaturated fatty acids that are the omega-6 type. We have too many seed oils in our diet and natural PUFAs, such as the omega-3s, which come from fish, EPA, DHA.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The other thing is Mary Enig, the late Mary Enig, PhD, premier of fats.
Yeah.
That who you interviewed. She has always said, eat fats in the package they're found in. You know, don't do this to the seed, say to the soybean and pull the oil out from it.
Right, through some highly harsh process, industrialized process.
Eat some flaxseed. Mm-hmm. Don't necessarily pull the oil out of it because that whole process can deem it rancid or denature it in a way
I used to have a cardiology professor at Einstein in medical school. He's a very well-known and respected cardiologist.
Mm-hmm.
Who had, at the time, it was such a vogue, he used to drink a shot glass of corn oil every day.
Oof.
Yeah, because it was
Was he constipated?
No, I don't.
Like, that was my grandmother's mineral oil constipation remedy.
Yeah, no, but
corn oil?
At the time, they sold this concept that polyunsaturated fats were beneficial for the heart.
Mm.
But they got it wrong. It was the omega-6s, and imperial margarine era,
where they
said, put a crown on your head.
Crisco and parquet and corn oil.
They tried
Wesson,
to sell it
Wesson,
as healthy.
Wesson, Wesson, Wesson.
They tried to sell it as healthy.
Exactly.
You know, it's like...
Exactly.
So, anyway. Enough said on the subject. I think we agree with this guy, and you should try and...
And you know what? If you knew what actually happened to vegetable oils, like I learned being a food science major in my undergrad... They, under high heat and a metal catalyst, they take that seed or that plant and they extract the oil, and what you're left with is a very gray, cloudy, smelly product. Nobody's going
to
consume
that. They have to deodorize it.
So they have to deodorize
it. Bleach it.
They have to bleach it.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be consuming this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, put that Wesson, put that Mazola back up there. Never mind. Go get some... Go render fat from your pancetta.
One oil we do like that is extracted.
Coconut.
Coconut, but also olive oil.
Olive oil, yes, absolutely.
I think there's
we're not talking about the extraction method I just described. It's a first cold press.
Yeah.
It's a cold press. No heat, no rancidity is going to occur there, no metal catalyst. It's a first cold press, that's it. And it's bottled.
I'm interviewing the olive oil hunter this week.
That's so
great. For a podcast on the subject of olive oil. So we'll learn more.
Terrific.
Great. So thank you that we're out of time. Very interesting questions. Keep them coming.
Mm-hmm.
We have time for your questions next time we record. Radio program at AOL.com is the destination for questions. We hope you'll send us some of your most urgent questions and we'll be happy to field them.
Yes.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman today with Layla Mutin. Thanks, Layla, for joining us.
Thank you, everybody, for listening.
This is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As I continue to look for more ways to fulfill my pledge to provide the information you need to make informed choices about your health and wellness, I've developed a simple way for you to access curated supplement protocols previously available only to patients in my private practice. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com. There you'll find easy-to-follow links to not only the best individual products, but also to my brand new Intelligent Medicine Lifestyle Supplement Protocols that combine the products I recommend to achieve your specific goals, whether it be heart health, immune support, and much more. It's the easiest way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need in order to follow the Intelligent Medicine Lifestyle. And for a limited time, you'll also receive free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.